With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Chapter 1. A Whisper of a Wolf. The cold woke Cassia. Not the chill from the open window, but the deep, biting cold of the stone floor. It seeped through her thin blanket and into her bones. Dawn was still just a gray promise, a smudge of light far away. The servants' quarters were quiet, filled with the soft breathing of sleeping girls. But Cassia was already up. She had to be. She moved like a ghost in the dark, her bare feet making no sound. Her dress was simple, worn soft with too much washing. It smelled like soap and wood smoke. Today was the moon banquet. The big hall had to be perfect. Every floorboard must shine. Every window must be clear as glass. Invisibility was safety, and her work was her shield. If she did her job well, no one would ever see her. That was the goal. A little later, with the sun just starting to warm the sky, she was on her hands and knees. The smell of lemon and wax filled the air. She scrubbed the great hall's floor, her arms aching. Through the tall windows, she could see the training grounds. Warriors of the Silver Moon Pack moved with a blur of speed. They laughed and shouted, their bodies strong, their spirits bright. She saw them shift, a flash of fur, the ripple of muscle changing shape. Man to wolf, wolf to man. A beautiful, powerful dance. Something inside her, a tiny sleeping thing, felt a pang of longing. It was a feeling she tried to push down, deep into the dark. Her wolf had never woken. At 18, she was still incomplete. Human-born, they whispered behind her back. A servant's daughter with thin blood. Maybe she didn't even have a wolf to wake up. What if she was just a girl and nothing more? Would that be so bad? Cassia, stop dreaming and fetch more water. The sharp voice of Marta, the head housekeeper, cut through her thoughts. Yes, Marta, she whispered, keeping her eyes down. As she carried the heavy wooden buckets, she heard the other servants talking in excited, hushed tones. Did you hear? A young girl named Lyra said, her eyes wide. Alpha Lucian is going to choose his Luna tonight at the banquet. He has to, an older woman, Alara, added, her voice softer. The pack needs a Luna. It's been too long. Cassia's heart gave a strange little skip. The Alpha, Lucian. She had only seen him from far away, a tall, dark figure who moved with a power that made the air crackle. He was everything she was not, strong, respected, important. She pictured his face, a face she had only seen in passing. Dark hair, serious eyes the color of gold. A king in his own world. A world where she was just a shadow scrubbing floors. The idea of him choosing a mate, a Luna to rule by his side, felt like a story from another life. She finished her work as the sun climbed higher, the great hall now gleaming. She looked at her reflection in the polished floor. It was blurry, indistinct. A girl without a face. Perfect. No one would notice her tonight. She could just serve the food, clear the plates, and disappear back into the quiet darkness of the servants' quarters. The thought should have been comforting. It always was. But today, a small, sad voice in her heart whispered the truth. It'll never be someone like me. And for the first time, that truth felt less like a shield and more like a cage. Chapter 2. The Alpha's Shadow. The hours leading up to the banquet were a blur of activity. The smell of roasting pig and baking bread filled the entire pack house, a warm and heavy scent that made your stomach rumble. Cassia moved through the chaos, her feet light, her presence small. She arranged silver cups, folded soft napkins, and tried to stay out of everyone's way. Her earlier sadness was now a dull ache in her chest, something she could ignore as long as she kept busy. Because being busy was a good way to forget how lonely you were. Then he walked in. The noise in the great hall didn't stop, but it changed. It was like a string being pulled tight. Alpha Lucian. He wasn't just tall. He was imposing, built with the hard muscle of a warrior who had fought many battles. His dark hair was a little long, and his eyes were the color of honey in the sun, but there was no warmth in them. They were sharp and cold, missing nothing. He wore a simple black tunic, but on him, it looked like armor. There was a deep line between his brows, a mark of worry that never seemed to leave. He was the Alpha, the strongest of them all, yet he looked like he carried the weight of the whole world on his shoulders. Why did he always look so burdened? He spoke to Kale, his beta, the second in command. Kale was broad and had a friendly face, but even he seemed smaller next to the Alpha. Lucian's voice was low and rough, like stones scraping together. Cassia couldn't hear the words, only the sound of them, the sound of power. As he turned to leave, his golden gaze swept across the hall. It was a quick assessing look, the kind a wolf gives when checking for danger. For a single, heart-stopping second, his eyes landed on her, on Cassia. It wasn't a real look, not really. Just a flicker. But it felt like a physical touch. A jolt of lightning shot through her, hot and sharp. Her breath caught in her throat. Her heart hammered against her ribs, a wild drumbeat. He was so intense. He was so much. She did the only thing she could. She dropped her gaze to the floor, her cheeks burning with heat. She hated herself for it, for that stupid, weak flutter in her chest. He was the Alpha. She was nothing. Wanting something you could never, ever have was a special kind of pain. For his part, Lucian paused. His wolf, the ancient and powerful Adric, stirred inside him, a low rumble in the back of his mind. Something. The scent in the air was sweet, like wildflowers after rain. He scanned the room again. He saw only servants busy with their tasks. He crushed the feeling down. It was nothing. Just his senses playing tricks on him. There was nothing here for him. He had more important things to worry about. Later, Cassia was sent to fetch more wine from the cellar. The hallway passed by the small room where the Alpha and his council sometimes met. The heavy wooden door was cracked open just a little. She should have just walked past. She knew she should have. But she heard voices, low and urgent, and she froze. It was Kale, the beta. His voice was tight with worry. Lucian, you must choose tonight. The elders are demanding it. Another voice, older and gravelly, replied. It is not about what they demand, Kale. It's about the pack's survival. Then Kale said the words that made the blood in Cassia's veins turn to ice. I know that, Gerald. But what happens if he doesn't? If the Alpha's curse worsens, the pack's doomed. A curse? The Alpha was cursed? Cassia pressed her hand to her mouth, her eyes wide with shock. She backed away from the door, her mind racing, the weight he carried, the sadness in his eyes. It wasn't just leadership. It was something darker, something dangerous. She hurried away, the secret heavy in her heart. The great, powerful Alpha was broken. And somehow, that made him feel even further away than before. Chapter 3. Mine. The moon banquet began. The great hall was alive with light and sound. Hundreds of candles flickered, making the silver cups and plates glitter like stars. The members of the pack were dressed in their finest clothes, rich fabrics of deep green and dark blue. Laughter echoed off the high ceiling. To Cassia, carrying a heavy silver tray laden with roasted chicken, it felt like a different world. She was a ghost here, a shadow meant only to serve. She moved carefully through the crowd, her eyes on the floor. She refilled wine glasses, replaced empty plates, and tried to make herself as small as possible. But even a ghost can be seen by those who want to cause trouble. "Well, well, look what we have here." The voice was deep and mocking. Cassia looked up and her stomach dropped. It was Fenris, a huge warrior with a cruel smile and small, mean eyes. Two of his friends stood with him, blocking her path. "It's the little mouse," Fenris sneered, looking her up and down. His gaze made her skin crawl. "Still waiting for a wolf that will never come, humanborn?" His friends chuckled. The term humanborn was an insult. It meant her bloodline was weak, that her parents were not strong shifters. It was a brand of shame. "Excuse me," Cassia said, her voice barely a whisper. "I need to get through." Fenris's smile widened. He took a step closer, crowding her. She could smell the ale on his breath. "The Alpha's table is that way. An important job. You should show some respect. Bow." Cassia froze. Bow? To him? Humiliation washed over her, hot and sickening. People nearby had started to watch, their conversations fading. They were staring. I have to serve. Bow, he repeated, his voice turning into a low growl. He placed a heavy hand on her shoulder and pushed down. Hard. Cassia's knees buckled. The heavy tray tilted, and she cried out, trying to keep it steady. But it was no use. She stumbled and fell to her knees, the tray and its contents crashing to the floor with a loud clatter. Chicken and gravy spilled across the polished wood. Silence. The entire hall went quiet. Every single eye was on her, on the pathetic servant girl kneeling in a pile of ruined food. Tears burned in her eyes, but she refused to let them fall. She just wanted to disappear, to sink through the floor and never be seen again. Then, the air changed. A pressure built in the room, heavy and dangerous. It was like the calm before a storm. A low sound echoed from the high table. It wasn't a word. It was a growl. Deep, guttural, and filled with a fury that shook the very stones of the hall. Cassia dared to look up. Alpha Lucian was on his feet. He wasn't looking at Fenris. His burning golden eyes were locked on her. The control he always wore like a mask was gone. His face was a picture of raw, untamed rage. The man was gone. Only the wolf remained. He moved. He didn't walk. He stalked. Each step was slow, deliberate, and promised violence. The pack members scrambled out of his way, their faces pale with fear. Fenris, who had seemed so big and scary just a moment ago, now looked like a frightened child. He took a step back, his hands raised. "Alpha, I was just..." Lucian didn't even glance at him. He stopped right in front of Cassia, who was still kneeling on the floor, trembling. He stared down at her, and the whole world seemed to hold its breath. She saw something in his eyes she had never seen before, a blazing fire of possession, of hunger. He opened his mouth, and one word ripped through the dead silence of the room. It was not a word from a man. It was a claim from the soul of a beast. "Mine." A collective gasp went through the crowd. A silver goblet fell from someone's hand, clattering on the floor. Fenris looked like he was going to be sick. But the most shocking thing of all was the look on the Alpha's face. It wasn't triumph. It wasn't pride. As the word faded, the wolfish fire in his eyes flickered, and the man returned. And his expression was one of pure, absolute horror. He looked at Cassia, at the servant's daughter he had just claimed in front of the entire pack, as if he had just made the biggest mistake of his life. Chapter 4. The Wolf Was Mistaken. The single word hung in the air, echoing in the terrible silence. Mine. For a frozen moment, no one moved. No one breathed. Cassia was trapped on the floor, the world a dizzying blur of shocked faces and flickering candlelight. Her gaze was locked with the alphas. She saw the raw wild wolf in his golden eyes. And then she saw it die, smothered by a wave of cold, human horror. The connection between them snapped. Lucian straightened up, his face becoming a mask of stone. He looked away from her, turning his gaze to the stunned crowd. The power rolling off him was immense, but it was no longer hot with fury. It was frigid with control. When he spoke, his voice was clear, sharp, and cut through the silence like a shard of glass. The wolf was mistaken. A gasp rippled through the hall. Not of shock this time, but of confusion and disbelief. The words were an insult to his own spirit, a denial of the most sacred bond a shifter could feel. He had claimed her. And now, he was taking it back. In front of everyone. The claiming had been a shock. This was a wound. A deep, public shaming that stole the air from Cassia's lungs. The burn of humiliation was so intense it left no room for tears. She felt nothing at all. Just a hollow, ringing emptiness. Lucian turned his back on her completely. He addressed the pack as if she no longer existed. The banquet is over. Leave. His command was absolute. No one argued. There was a scrape of chairs, a murmur of hushed voices, and then the hall began to empty. People shot her looks, some filled with pity, others with scorn. Fenris, the warrior who had started it all, scrambled away like a kicked dog. A hand touched her arm. It was Ilara, the older servant. Her face was kind. Come, child. Let's get you out of here. Cassia let herself be pulled to her feet. She didn't look at the spilled food. She didn't look at the retreating pack members. And she did not, under any circumstances, look at the Alpha's rigid back. She walked out of the great hall, her head held high, her body moving on its own. The numbness was a strange sort of shield. But as she walked, a strange sensation started on her neck, just below her ear. A faint warmth, a tingling. Back in the cold, small room she shared with the other servant girls, she finally allowed herself to breathe. Lyra and the others were silent, watching her with wide, fearful eyes. She ignored them and went to the small, cracked piece of mirror they all shared. There, on her skin, was a faint, shimmering mark. It looked like it was made of moonlight, a delicate swirl of silver that seemed to pulse with a soft light of its own. It was the beginning of a mating mark, a mark of acclaim, a claim that had been rejected. The mark began to burn, not with heat, but with a cold fire. A constant, painful reminder of what had just happened. She was the Alpha's fated mate, and he had thrown her away in front of the world. She touched the mark, her fingers trembling. A vow formed in her empty heart, a promise made of shame and broken pride. She would never, ever look at him again. But as the silver shimmer pulsed under her touch, she had a terrifying feeling that the mark was never going to fade. Chapter 5. Silver in the Water. 3 days passed. 3 days of whispers and sideways glances. Cassia moved through her chores in a fog of silence. She spoke to no one, and no one dared to speak to her. The silver mark on her neck remained, a secret she kept hidden beneath her collar. It no longer burned with a cold fire. Now it was a constant, dull ache, a phantom limb of a bond that was never meant to be. She felt strange. Tired, weaker than usual, as if some vital energy was being drained from her. The other servants gave her a wide berth. She was tainted now, marked and then unmarked, an object of bad luck and pity. Her invisibility, once her shield, was now a prison of loneliness. On the fourth day, Marta sent her to fetch water from the river that snaked through the forest behind the pack house. It was a relief to be away from the judging eyes, to be surrounded by the quiet whisper of the wind in the trees. The air was cool and smelled of damp earth and pine needles. She knelt by the riverbank, the wooden bucket beside her. The water was clear and cold, rushing over smooth gray stones. She dipped the bucket in, the weight of it straining her arms. As she stood up, a wave of dizziness washed over her, the world tilted on its side. The trees spun. Black spots danced in front of her eyes. Her legs felt like they were made of string, and the heavy bucket slipped from her grasp, splashing back into the river. "What?" she gasped, pressing a hand to her forehead. Then the fire started. It wasn't like the cold burn of the mark. This was a roaring inferno, starting in the pit of her stomach and spreading through every vein in her body. It was a pain so intense she couldn't even scream. Her body convulsed, and she fell to her knees, her back arching. It felt like every part of her was being ripped apart and put back together again. Wrong. "This is it," she thought, her mind hazy with pain. "I'm dying." But then, just as suddenly as it began, the burning changed. It turned from a hot, agonizing fire into a cool, silver light that seemed to flood her from the inside out. The pain was gone, replaced by a feeling of immense ancient power. It felt like drinking moonlight. Her senses exploded. She could hear everything. The frantic heartbeat of a rabbit hiding in a bush 100 feet away. The lazy buzz of a fly circling overhead. The sound of a single leaf detaching from a branch and spiraling to the forest floor. She could smell the sweet scent of nectar in a distant flower. The rich smell of mud at the bottom of the river. The faint metallic scent of an eagle soaring high above. Something inside her had woken up. The little sleeping thing she had felt before was now a vast, powerful presence. It didn't feel like a wolf. It felt older, wiser. It felt like the forest itself, like the moon and the stars and the deep, dark earth. It was a lichen spirit, rare, powerful, ancient. Shaking, she crawled to the river's edge, desperate to see her reflection, to see if she looked different. The water was still, a perfect mirror. She stared down, her heart pounding. Her face was the same, pale, thin, with wide, frightened eyes. Except her eyes weren't brown anymore. They were glowing, a soft, luminous, impossible silver. As she stared, mesmerized and terrified, a shadow fell over her. A tall figure blocked the sun. A familiar, heart-stopping scent of pine and power filled the air. She looked up, her glowing silver eyes meeting a pair of stunned golden ones. It was Alpha Lucian, and his face was a mask of disbelief and dawning horror. Chapter 6. A Gilded Cage. He stood over her, a dark silhouette against the bright sky. The silver light in Cassia's eyes flickered and slowly faded, but he had seen it. There was no doubt. The air between them crackled with a strange energy, a hum of power that pulled at something deep inside her. The rejected bond was there, a live wire, and her awakening had just sent a jolt through it. Lucian's face was grim, his jaw tight. The shock in his eyes was replaced by a hard, calculating look. He knew this was because of him, because of the claim. His wolf, Eadric, was pacing restlessly in his mind, whining with a mix of confusion and a strange protective urge he was fighting with everything he had. "Get up," he said. His voice was not a request. It was a command, low and rough. Cassia scrambled to her feet, her legs still trembling. She wanted to hate him. She wanted to scream at him for the humiliation, for this terrifying thing that was happening to her. But all she felt was a confusing mix of fear and that same stupid, undeniable pull towards him. It made no sense. "What do you want?" she asked, her voice shaking. "You're coming with me," he stated, ignoring her question. He started walking back towards the pack house, not even checking to see if she was following. He knew she would. "No," she said, surprising herself. I'm a servant. I have work to do." He stopped and turned, his golden eyes pinning her to the spot, Your work is whatever I say it is. Now, come. There was no arguing with that tone. Defeated, she followed him back. The walk was silent and tense. She could feel his awareness of her just as she could feel his. It was like they were two magnets, trying desperately to push each other away, but being forced together by an invisible power. When they entered the main pack house, Kale and the old elder, Gerald, were standing in the great hall. They saw Lucian, and then their eyes fell on Cassia trailing behind him. Kale's friendly face hardened with disapproval. Alpha? Kale said, his voice carefully neutral. What is this? She is under my observation, Lucian said, his tone leaving no room for discussion. Gerald stepped forward, his expression grave. Lucian, the girl is a servant. After the incident at the banquet, having her here in the main house. It is not right. She could be a risk. Lucian's eyes flashed with a dangerous light. She is more of a risk out of my sight. This conversation is over. He grabbed Cassia's arm, his grip firm but not painful, and pulled her past them. He led her up the grand staircase into the wing where only the Alpha and his most trusted council lived. He stopped in front of a heavy, polished oak door and opened it. The room inside was beautiful. It was a guest room, but it was larger than the entire servants' quarters. A huge bed with soft white blankets sat in the middle. A fire was already crackling in the fireplace. It was a cage, but it was a gilded one. He pushed her gently inside. She stumbled forward, turning to face him. He stood in the doorway, a formidable barrier between her and the world. The conflict in his eyes was a storm. She could see his fury, his fear for the pack and something else buried deep beneath it. A flicker of something that looked almost like regret. He was about to close the door when he stopped, his gaze locking with hers one last time. Stay out of my way, he warned, his voice a low growl. Don't touch anything. Don't speak to me unless I speak to you first, or I'll forget you're innocent. And then he closed the door, the soft click of the latch sounding as final as a prison cell door slamming shut. Chapter 7. The Monster in the Hall. The beautiful room was a prison. Cassia had never slept in a bed so soft or felt the warmth of a fire that was lit just for her. But the comfort felt like a lie, because beyond the plush blankets and the rich velvet curtains, she was a captive, a strange, magical creature being watched by a sad, angry king. The bond between them was a constant, low hum beneath her skin, a reminder that even when she was alone, she was still tied to him. The first night was the worst. The pack house grew quiet, the sounds of the day fading into a deep, peaceful silence. Cassia lay in the massive bed, staring up at the dark ceiling, unable to sleep. Her body was tired, but her mind was wide awake, replaying the events of the last few days over and over again. The claim, the rejection, the glowing silver of her own eyes. Then she heard it. A sound from the room next door, from the Alpha's room. It started as a low growl, a deep rumble of discontent. Then came a heavy thud, like a fist hitting a thick wooden wall. Cassia sat up, her heart starting to beat faster. Was he angry? Was he coming for her? No! The voice was his, but it was strained, choked with pain. Adric! Control! He was talking to his wolf, fighting his wolf. The whispers she'd overheard about a curse were true. This was the sound of it. This was the monster he was trying to keep locked away. She heard another sound, a desperate snarl of frustration, followed by the crash of something breaking. Her fear began to melt away, replaced by something she never expected to feel for the Alpha. Pity. He wasn't a cold, unfeeling leader. He was a man in agony, at war with a part of his own soul. Every night, while the pack slept peacefully, their Alpha was fighting a battle to protect them from himself. Driven by a strange impulse she didn't understand, she slipped out of bed. The floor was cold beneath her bare feet. She tiptoed to the thick stone wall that separated their rooms and pressed her ear against it, holding her breath. The sounds were clearer now. The desperate panting of a man pushed to his limit, the guttural snarls of a beast trying to break free. It was terrifying, and it was heartbreaking. He was suffering so much, and for some reason, her heart ached for him. Suddenly, in a moment of quiet between the growls, she heard a whisper. It was hoarse, ragged, and seemed to crawl through the very stone of the wall to reach her. The voice was a strange mix of Lucian's and something wilder, older. "You calm the monster." The words were so quiet, she wasn't sure if she had truly heard them or just imagined them. Was he talking to her? Or was it just a pained, delirious thought spoken into the darkness? She pulled back from the wall, a shiver running down her spine. The fighting in the next room slowly began to quiet down, the growls softening into tired breaths. She was connected to his curse, his monster. Somehow, her presence here, in this gilded cage, was a comfort to the beast he fought every single night. And that thought was more terrifying than any prison bars could ever be. Chapter 8. The Spark Between Them. The next morning, Lucian looked like a storm cloud. He was colder and more distant than ever, with dark circles under his eyes that spoke of his sleepless, violent night. He knew she had heard him. He could feel it through their bond, a faint echo of her pity, and it made him furious. He was the alpha. He did not need or want pity, especially from her. He found her sitting by the window, looking out at the grounds. She looked small and lost in the big, fancy room. He saw the flicker of fear in her eyes when he entered, and it warred with the protective instinct that Adric was screaming inside his head. This was impossible. This connection to her was a weakness he could not afford. Her untamed power was a beacon in the supernatural world, a dinner bell for his enemies. "Come with me," he ordered, his voice flat. "You need to learn control." He led her to a small, hidden training yard behind the pack house. The air was crisp and smelled of dust and dry leaves. He faced her, his expression all business. "The power you feel," he began, his voice hard. "It is a fire. Right now, it is a wildfire, burning bright and calling attention to itself. Rogues and worse things can sense it. You must learn to bank the flames, turn them into embers that glow only when you choose." She nodded, her eyes wide and serious. "How?" "You have to pull it inward, feel it in your veins, and then command it to be still, to hide." He sighed, frustrated. "It's about will. Focus." She tried. She closed her eyes and took a deep breath. For a moment, nothing happened. Then a faint silver aura flickered around her, a visible wave of power. "No," he growled, stepping closer. "You're pushing it out. You have to pull it in. Here." He reached out and placed his hand on the small of her back. The moment his skin touched the thin fabric of her dress, a jolt of electricity arced between them. Cassia gasped, her eyes flying open. His touch was scorching hot, sending a wave of warmth through her entire body. Adric, his wolf, let out a pleased rumble in his mind. "Mate?" Lucian ignored it, his jaw tight. "Feel that? That's the energy. Now pull it back. Draw it away from my hand and into your core." His voice was a low rumble, his instructions clinical. But his touch was anything but. His nearness was overwhelming. She could smell the scent of pine and clean sweat on his skin. She could feel the strength in his fingers, the heat of his palm. It made it impossible to focus. I can't," she stammered, her cheeks flushing. "Yes, you can," he said, his voice softer than he intended. He moved his other hand to her arm, turning her to face him. "Breathe. Match my breathing." He took a slow breath in, and she mirrored him. They stood there for a long moment, breathing in unison, his hands still on her back and arm. The world seemed to shrink until it was only the two of them, standing in a quiet, dusty yard. The forbidden attraction between them was a burning fire, far hotter than her new magic. Finally, something clicked. She focused on the warmth of his hands, on the steady rhythm of his breathing, and she pulled. The silver aura around her flickered and then vanished, drawn back inside her. She looked up at him, a small, triumphant smile touching her lips. I did it. He wasn't looking at her power anymore. He was just looking at her. His golden eyes were no longer cold. They were burning with a fire that had nothing to do with training and everything to do with want. He was so much closer than she had realized. His gaze dropped from her eyes to her lips. His control, the iron wall he built around himself every single day, finally snapped. He leaned in. The world stopped. Their lips were only a breath away. Then, with a savage curse that ripped from his throat, he shoved himself backward, stumbling away from her as if she were poison. He ran a hand through his hair, his chest heaving. Without another word, without another look, he turned and stormed out of the training yard, leaving Cassia standing alone, breathless and trembling with a feeling she had never known before. Chapter 9, The Servant and the Savior. Later that day, Kale found Lucian pacing in his study. The beta's friendly face was tight with concern. I saw what happened in the yard, Lucian, Kale said, his voice low. This is a mistake. That girl, she has a power I don't understand, and it is making you unstable. The elders are talking. They say her bloodline is cursed, that a girl like that can only bring ruin. Lucian slammed his fist on his desk, the sound cracking through the room. I am handling it! Are you? Kale challenged. Or is it handling you? That night, Cassia couldn't sleep. The almost kiss played over and over in her mind. The look in his eyes. It was a look that said he wanted her, even if he hated it, even if he hated himself for it. It was a dangerous, hopeful, terrifying thought. A strange, prickling sensation crawled up the back of her neck. It was her new senses, her internal alarm bell, screaming a warning. She sat up in bed, her heart starting to pound. A soft scraping sound came from her window. Then the sound of splintering wood. A dark shape filled the window frame. Then another. They were big, ragged wolves, their eyes glowing with a feral yellow light in the darkness. Rogues. They had smelled her power. They had come for it. She opened her mouth to scream, and the sound was ripped from her throat. One of the wolves launched itself into the room. The door to her chamber burst open, splintering off its hinges. Lucian was there, a blur of motion and fury. He didn't hesitate. In mid-stride, he shifted. Man became beast in a seamless, brutal transformation. A massive black wolf with silver-tipped fur and blazing golden eyes stood where her alpha had been. Adric, he met the first rogue with a deafening snarl, his powerful jaws closing around its neck. The room became a whirlwind of black and gray fur, of snarling, snapping teeth, and the sickening sound of claws on flesh. But a second rogue got past him. It ignored the alpha and lunged straight for Cassia on the bed. Its yellow eyes were filled with hunger. Time seemed to slow down. She saw its teeth, long and sharp. She smelled its foul, wet dog breath. Fear and a white-hot fury erupted inside her. This creature was not just attacking her, it was in her room, her space. It was a violation. She didn't think. She didn't plan. She acted. She threw her hands up, and a wave of pure silver energy, like solid moonlight, blasted from her palms. It hit the rogue square in the chest. The beast was thrown backward as if hit by a giant invisible fist, crashing into the far wall with a pained yelp. It lay there, stunned and whimpering. Adric was still fighting the other rogue, but a third one had joined the fray, biting deep into his back leg. He roared in pain, momentarily off balance. Seeing him hurt, seeing her protector in trouble, ignited a cold, protective rage in Cassia's chest. The fear was gone, replaced by a strange, sharp focus. She aimed her hands at the two wolves attacking her alpha. Another blast of silver light erupted from her, brighter this time. It didn't throw them, but it washed over them. A blinding flash that made them stagger back, disoriented and confused. It was the opening Adric needed. He lunged, and the fight was over in two quick, brutal snaps of his powerful jaws. Silence descended on the wrecked room. Three dead rogues lay on the beautiful rug. Lucian shifted back, his human form appearing in a shimmer of energy. He was naked, breathing heavily, and bleeding from a dozen shallow cuts. A deep gash on his leg was oozing dark blood. He looked at the dead wolves. He looked at the stunned creature whimpering by the wall. Then, slowly, he looked at her. He walked toward her, ignoring his injuries. His face wasn't angry. It wasn't suspicious. It was filled with a raw, shaken awe. He had seen what she could do. The little servant girl, the human-born mouse, had just saved his life. He stopped in front of her, his golden eyes searching her face. He reached out a trembling hand as if to touch her, then let it drop. He whispered, his voice thick with a respect she had never heard before. "You're not what I thought." Chapter 10. The Calm in the Storm. The silence in the ruined room was thick and heavy, broken only by their ragged breaths. Adrenaline faded, leaving behind the sharp, coppery smell of blood and a strange, shaky intimacy. The dead rogues were a testament to the brutal violence that had just happened, but all Cassia could see was the dark blood welling from the gash on Lucian's leg. Before she could think about it, she was moving. The servant inside her, the part that knew how to fix things, took over. She grabbed a clean cloth from a drawer and dipped it in the water pitcher. He watched her, his golden eyes filled with a strange, unreadable emotion, as she knelt before him. "You're hurt," she whispered, her voice trembling slightly. He should have stopped her. The Alpha did not show weakness. He did not accept help. But he was tired, so incredibly tired of fighting. He let her press the cool, damp cloth to the wound on his leg, hissing as it stung. "It's deep," she murmured, her touch surprisingly gentle. As she cleaned his wounds, the barriers between them seemed to dissolve in the quiet dark. He was no longer the powerful, untouchable Alpha. She was no longer the invisible, fearful servant. They were just two people, survivors of a fight, sharing a moment of fragile peace. "The curse," he said, his voice a low, rough sound that was barely audible. "It's a sickness in my bloodline. My wolf, Adric, he is too old, too strong. Every day he tries to take over, to consume the man." Cassia looked up from his leg, her eyes wide. He was telling her his secret. The secret he fought to hide from the entire world. "The fighting I do at night," he continued, looking at the far wall, unable to meet her gaze. "That is me, holding him back. But it gets harder. Every moon, it gets harder." He finally looked at her, his eyes filled with a deep, haunting pain. "For some reason, your presence, it soothes him. It quiets the rage. I don't understand it. But when you are near, the monster sleeps." His confession was a gift, a piece of his broken soul offered to her, and she found herself offering a piece of her own in return. "I've always been alone," she said, her voice soft. "Even when I was surrounded by people, I felt like a ghost. I spent my whole life waiting for a wolf that I thought would make me whole. Instead, I got this." She gestured vaguely with her hand, indicating the power that hummed just beneath her skin. "It's too much. It feels as lonely as having nothing at all." He saw her then, truly saw her. Not as a servant, not as a complication, but as someone just as burdened as he was. He reached out, his fingers gently touching her neck, his thumb tracing the faint silver mark his wolf had left on her skin. The air grew thick with unspoken feelings. The desire was still there, a hot, electric current. But now it was mixed with something deeper, understanding, connection. His eyes blazed with that possessive fire she had seen before, but this time it wasn't frightening. It was a promise. He leaned in, his gaze fixed on hers. His fangs, sharp and white, elongated just a little. He was going to complete the mark, He was going to claim her for real this time. But then he stopped. A shudder ran through his entire body. He pulled his hand back as if he'd been burned. The fire in his eyes was replaced by a look of sheer panic. He shook his head, a choked sound escaping his lips. He whispered, his voice filled with a terrible agony, a confession of his deepest fear. "I can't. I can't lose control." And she understood. For him, giving in to his feelings, giving in to the bond between them, was the same as letting the monster win. Chapter 11. A Legacy of Lies. The next day, a fragile, unspoken thing existed between them. The air was thick with the memory of their shared confessions, of that almost kiss. Lucian avoided her, burying himself in pack duties, his manner colder and more distant than ever. It was a clumsy attempt to rebuild the walls she had slipped past, and it hurt more than Cassia wanted to admit. Left alone in the Alpha's wing, she felt restless. She couldn't sit still. She tidied the beautiful room, falling back on the familiar habits of a servant because she didn't know what else to do. She found herself in his study, a grand room filled with books and the scent of old leather and his pine scent. A thick layer of dust covered a large, ornate desk. Clearly, no one had cleaned in here for a long time. As she ran a cloth over the desk, her fingers brushed against a small, carved wolf's head. It wasn't just a decoration. It was a latch. Curiosity, a feeling she had suppressed her whole life, flared within her. She pressed it. With a soft click, a hidden drawer slid open. Inside was a small iron box. It was locked, but she felt a strange pull from it, a faint vibration that hummed in time with the power inside her. She placed her hand on the lock, and a tiny spark of silver energy flickered from her fingertips. The lock clicked open. Her heart pounded as she lifted the lid. Inside, nestled on a bed of faded velvet, was a single, rolled-up scroll tied with a leather cord. It was old, the parchment yellowed and brittle with age. With trembling hands, she untied the cord and carefully unrolled it. The writing was faded, the elegant script of a pack healer from long ago. It was a secret testimony. It told the story of the death of the previous Alpha, Lucian's father. The pack's story was that he died fighting rogues, a hero's death. This scroll told a different story. It spoke of the family curse, of the Alpha's wolf growing too strong, too violent. It said the Alpha had been lost to the beast. The healer who wrote the scroll had tried to perform a dangerous, forbidden ritual to sever the wolf from the man and save him, but the ritual had failed. The Alpha had died. And then, Cassia saw the name of the healer who had tried to save him. The healer who had been blamed for his death. The healer with a rare, ancient, lycan bloodline, Serafina. It was her mother's name. The world tilted and went gray. Her mother hadn't been a weak human-born servant. She had been a powerful lycan healer. She hadn't abandoned Cassia. She had been cast out, accused of murder while trying to save the father of the very man fate had now tied her to. This wasn't destiny. It was a cruel, twisted joke. Tears of grief and rage streamed down her face. "What is the meaning of this?" The cold voice made her jump. Lucian stood in the doorway, and beside him was Kale. Both of them were staring at the open box, at the ancient scroll in her hands. Before Cassia could speak, Kale stepped forward, his friendly face a mask of grave concern. He looked at Lucian. "Alpha, do you see? I warned you she was a danger. She has been digging into your family's most painful secrets. She is using her power on you, bewitching you, just as her mother bewitched your father before she killed him." Lucian's gaze darted from the scroll to Cassia's tear-streaked, horrified face. All the pain, all the fear he had about his curse, all his grief for his father, it all twisted together with Kale's poisonous words. The fragile trust they had built shattered into a million pieces. His face became the cold, hard mask of the Alpha. His golden eyes were chips of ice. He looked at the guards behind him, his voice flat and empty of all the warmth she had felt just last night. Take her to the cells. Chapter 12. The Silver Storm. The betrayal was a physical blow. One moment, she was looking at the man who had shared his soul with her. The next, he was a stranger, his eyes cold and empty, condemning her without a trial. The guards grabbed her arms, their grips like iron bands. She didn't fight. She was too numb, too broken to even speak. They dragged her down, down, down. Away from the warm, sunlit rooms of the Alpha's wing and into the cold, damp dark of the pack house dungeons. The air was thick with the smell of mildew and despair. They shoved her into a small stone cell, the sound of the heavy iron door slamming shut echoing with a terrible finality. The chains were waiting. They were made of silver. The moment the cold metal touched her skin, it was agony. Silver was a poison to shifters, but to her newly awakened lichen spirit, it was pure fire. It didn't just burn her skin, it felt like it was burning her very soul, trying to smother the silver light inside her. The pain, the betrayal, the grief for a mother she now knew was a hero. It was too much. Something inside her snapped. Her power, the wild, untamed energy she had tried so hard to control, erupted from her. It wasn't a calculated blast like the one she'd used on the rogues. This was a storm, a hurricane of raw, uncontrolled magic born of pure anguish. A visible aura of silver light pulsed from her body, slamming against the stone walls of the cell. The air crackled with energy. The silver chains that held her wrists glowed red hot, searing her flesh, but the power kept pouring out of her, a silent, desperate scream. She was a star collapsing in on itself. From the shadows at the end of the dungeon hall, Lucian watched. He had followed them down, unable to stay away. Every pulse of her power, every wave of her pain, slammed into him through their bond. His wolf, Eadric, was howling in his mind, a sound of pure, shared agony. Mate is hurt. Free her. Protect her. He clutched his head, fighting the urge to rip the cell door from its hinges. His duty and his heart were tearing him in two. Cassia felt his presence. She lifted her head, her hair wild, her eyes glowing with a painful, furious light. She saw him standing there, watching her suffer. The last bit of hope in her heart turned to ash. He didn't believe her. He would never believe her. He saw what Kale and the elders wanted him to see. A monster. Her power suddenly receded. The storm quieted. Her body went limp, slumping against the burning chains, her strength gone. She looked at him, her gaze clear and steady through her pain. Her voice was a dry, broken rasp. You wanted control, Alpha. Now you have it. Her surrender was more devastating than her power had ever been. Adric's howl in his mind became a pained whimper. Lucian felt a piece of his own soul crack. Just then, Kale and Gerald appeared at his side. They stared into the cell at the now quiet girl hanging in her chains. Gerald's old face was grim, his eyes hard. This is worse than we feared, the elder said, his voice like gravel. This power, it is a blight. The girl cannot be contained. He turned his gaze to Lucian, his voice dropping, cold and final. The council demands her execution. Chapter 13, A Fugitive's Heart. The dungeon was a place where hope went to die. Chained to the wall, the silver burning her skin and dampening her power, Cassia had finally let the darkness take her. The council wanted her dead. The man whose presence was a constant hum in her blood had put her here. There was nothing left to fight for. She hung limp in her chains, waiting for the end. Late in the night, a sound broke the silence, the scrape of a key in the heavy iron lock. Her head snapped up. A young guard, barely older than her, slipped into the cell. His name was Thomas. She recognized him from the kitchens. He always had a kind smile. Now his face was pale with fear. This is wrong, he whispered, his hands fumbling with the keys to her silver manacles. My grandmother, she used to tell stories of great healers with silver eyes, from a line older than any alpha. You're no monster. The chains fell away with a clatter. Go, run through the forest to the northern border. Now. He pressed a dark cloak and a small lumpy bag into her hands, and then he was gone. Freedom was a shock. For a moment, she just stood there, her wrists raw and burning. Then the instinct for survival took over. She wrapped the cloak around herself and ran. The forest was a maze of black trees and deep shadows, but her senses, though dull from the silver, guided her. The cold night air felt wonderful in her lungs. Every step took her further away from the pack house, from the whispers, from him. Part of her felt a wild, exhilarating freedom. The other part felt like she was ripping in half, leaving a vital piece of herself behind in that place. She ran for what felt like hours, pushing her tired body to its limit. Then she felt it, a presence behind her, powerful, fast, unstoppable. They had sent him, the Alpha, the pack's executioner. Panic gave her a new burst of speed. She crashed through bushes, her feet stumbling on roots. But he was faster. The presence grew closer, a terrifying heat at her back. He cornered her in a small clearing, bathed in the soft white light of the moon. She spun around, her back hitting a large oak tree. She was trapped. He stepped out of the shadows, and her breath caught. It was Lucian. He wasn't in his wolf form. He was just a man, his face a mask of pain and exhaustion. She braced herself, calling on the last flickering embers of her power. "Did you come to finish the job yourself?" she spat, her voice shaking with a mix of fear and fury. He stopped, his golden eyes filled with an agony that mirrored her own. "No," he said, his voice raw. "They were going to kill you, Cassia. The council voted, at dawn." He took a step closer. "I couldn't let them. I had to get you out. I told Thomas to free you." The world stopped spinning. He hadn't sent the guard to kill her. He had sent the guard to save her. He had chosen her, over his laws, over his council. "Why?" she whispered, the single word holding all of her confusion and pain. "Because you're mine," he growled, the words torn from his soul. "You have always been mine." The dam broke. All the anger, the betrayal, the hurt, the confusion, and the terrible, undeniable longing that had been tearing them both apart came rushing to the surface. He crossed the clearing in two long strides. She met him halfway. It wasn't a gentle kiss. It was a collision, a desperate, furious crash of lips and teeth and shared pain. His hands tangled in her hair, pulling her close. Her fingers dug into his arms, holding on as if he were the only solid thing in a spinning universe. It was a kiss of rage and relief, of surrender and defiance. It was a claim made in the moonlight that neither of them could ever take back. It was the point of no return. Chapter 14, The Alpha's Defiance. The kiss left them breathless, shaky, and irrevocably bound. In the moonlit clearing, they were not Alpha and Servant. They were just a man and a woman who had found each other against impossible odds. But the real world, with its laws and its lies, was waiting for them. "You have to go," Lucian murmured against her hair, his voice tight with urgency. "Follow the river north. There's an old hunter's cabin 2 miles past the border. Wait for me there. I will come for you." "What are you going to do?" she asked, fear creeping into her voice. "I am the Alpha," he said, his golden eyes hardening with a new resolve. "It's time I reminded my council what that means." He watched her disappear into the trees, a fleeting shadow, before he turned and headed back to the pack house. He walked into the great hall to find the council assembled, their faces like stone masks of fury. Gerald and Kale stood at the center. "The prisoner is gone," Gerald boomed, his voice echoing in the tense silence. "You let her escape, Lucian." Lucian walked to the Alpha's chair at the head of the table, but did not sit. He stood before them, radiating a power and authority they had not seen from him in a long time. "She is not a prisoner," he declared, his voice cold and clear. "Her name is Cassia. and she is my fated mate. A wave of shocked murmurs went through the room.
Have you lost your mind?
Gerald roared, his face turning red. She is a cursed bloodline, the daughter of the witch who murdered your father. Lucian's eyes flashed. My father was killed by the curse that I now fight every single night, a curse her mother died trying to heal. Kale stepped forward, his expression one of deep, sorrowful concern. It was a masterful performance. He held up the scroll he had taken from the study. My Alpha, I fear your feelings for the girl have clouded your judgment, he said, his voice ringing with false sympathy for all to hear. This scroll, found in her possession, proves the elder's stories are true. He looked around at the grim, believing faces of the council members. It says that her mother's lycan magic was volatile, uncontrollable. It says she used that power on your father, and it overwhelmed and killed him. Kale's voice rose, filled with righteous anger. Cassia carries the exact same power that killed your father. She is not a healer. She is a weapon, a time bomb waiting to destroy us all. He had twisted the truth, turning a failed act of healing into a malicious act of murder. And in the fear-filled eyes of the council, Lucian knew his Beta had just declared war. Chapter 15, The Cruelest Mercy. Lucian stood alone against a tide of fear. Kale's words, a clever and cruel twisting of the truth, had poisoned the council against Cassia completely. He could see it in their eyes, the hardening of hearts, the grim certainty. They would not listen to reason, they would hunt her, and they would tear apart anyone, even their Alpha, who stood in their way. He was trapped. If he fought them, the pack would erupt into civil war, and she would be killed in the chaos. If he did nothing, they would hunt her down anyway. A desperate, terrible plan formed in his mind, a plan that felt like tearing out his own heart. To save her, he had to set her free. To protect her, he had to become the monster they all thought he was. He found her at the hunter's cabin, a small, run-down shelter hidden deep in the woods. When she saw him emerge from the trees, her face lit up with a beautiful, hopeful smile that was like a knife to his gut. She ran to him, ready to fall into his arms. He stopped her by putting up a hand, his face a cold, emotionless mask. Her smile faltered. Lucian? What is it? What's wrong? He forced the words out, each one a betrayal, each one a shard of ice. I cannot protect you, he said, his voice flat and dead. Your presence here is a poison. It is tearing my pack apart. Confusion and hurt flooded her face. What are you talking about? We're together now. There is no we, he said, the lie burning his tongue. There is only my duty, and my duty is to my pack. He took a deep breath and delivered the final killing blow. As Alpha of the Silver Moon Pack, I am banishing you from these lands. You are an outcast. If you ever return, you will be killed on sight. The hope in her eyes died, replaced by a look of utter devastation. This was worse than the dungeon, worse than the council's sentence. This was him, the man she had given her heart to, throwing her away. Again. For the last time. Tears streamed down her face, but her voice when she spoke was as cold and broken as his. I should have known, she whispered, a hollow, empty sound. A servant's daughter is always a servant's daughter in the end. She didn't wait for another word. She turned her back on him and walked away, disappearing into the vast, lonely forest without a single look back. Lucian stood there until he could no longer feel her presence. The bond between them stretched thin, then frayed, filled with the agony of her heartbreak. The moment she was truly gone, the cost of his cruel mercy came crashing down. Adric, his wolf, howled in his soul, a sound of pure, unadulterated loss. The soothing presence that had kept the curse at bay was gone, replaced by a conduit of pure pain. The monster inside him, no longer quieted, awoke with a savage roar. A wave of agony, black and searing, ripped through him. He cried out, clutching his chest as the curse surged through his veins, stronger than ever before. He fell to his knees in the empty clearing, his vision tunneling to black. The last thing he breathed before the darkness took him was her name. Cassia. Chapter 16, The Ashes of Hope. The weeks that followed were a blur of gray. Cassia found herself in a small, nameless human village miles from the forest, trading her silence and hard work for scraps of food and a place to sleep in a barn. She was surviving, but she wasn't living. The vibrant, powerful energy that had awoken inside her was now a dormant thing, a sleeping ember she refused to fan. The bond connecting her to Lucian was a constant, dull ache in her soul, the phantom pain of a limb that had been brutally torn away. She had built a new kind of invisibility, one made of numbness and despair. Her hope had died in that forest clearing, killed by the cruelest mercy she had ever known. One evening, as she was scrubbing a dirty tavern floor, they found her. Four large men with the hard eyes of shifters and the ragged look of rogues walked in. They weren't like the mindless beasts that had attacked her before. These ones were calm, their leader smiling a slow, cruel smile. "There she is," the leader said, his voice a low drawl. "The great Alpha's mate, scrubbing floors for pennies. How very sad." Cassia froze, the wet rag dripping onto the floor. "We've been looking for you for a long time," he continued, circling her like a predator. "It's a shame, really. Your Alpha is gone. The beast finally won the battle inside his head. He's a mindless monster now, howling at the moon." The words hit her, but she felt nothing, just a hollow confirmation of a grief she was already drowning in. "But don't worry," the rogue said with a chuckle. "The Silver Moon Pack has a new Alpha now, Alpha Kale. He's much more practical than the old one, and he pays very, very well to have loose ends, like you, cleaned up. Kale, the friendly beta, the trusted friend. He had seized power. The betrayal was so complete, so absolute, that it didn't even hurt. It was just another layer of ash on a world that had already burned down. She didn't fight when they grabbed her. What was the point? Her brief, impossible dream of belonging, of being loved, was over. It had all been a mistake. A servant's daughter was never meant for more. Her spirit, the fiery part of her that had blasted rogues and stood up to an alpha, finally died. As they dragged her out of the tavern and into the darkness, a single hopeless thought echoed in the silent emptiness of her heart. Maybe I was never meant to be chosen. The rogue leader shoved her forward, toward the forest. "Alpha Kale wants you to have a front row seat," he sneered, his breath foul. "He wants you to see what your love did to the mighty Lucian before we finish this." And for the first time, a flicker of something, not hope, but a terrible, aching dread, stirred in the ashes. Chapter 17, A Promise in the Dark. They dragged her through the woods for days, back toward the lands she had been banished from. Cassia was a silent, compliant prisoner, but she listened. The rogues were talkative, proud of their new employment, and they spoke freely of the chaos that had consumed the Silver Moon Pack. "You should have seen it," one of them said around a mouthful of roasted rabbit. "The beast that used to be their alpha, it doesn't know friend from foe, tore through the training grounds and killed a dozen of their best warriors before they knew what was happening." "They say it doesn't even recognize Gerald, the old elder," another added. "The pack is terrified, hiding in their homes. Kale is the only thing holding the pack together. He's a real leader." Each word was a small cut, piercing through the thick fog of Cassia's numbness. Lucian, the man who had carried the burden of his curse in silence for years, fighting a war every night to protect his people. That same man was now the monster they hid from. He was destroying the pack he had sacrificed everything, including her, to protect. And it was her fault. The realization was a cold, sharp clarity in the midst of her despair. He had banished her to save his pack, but her absence had been the very thing that broke him. Her presence soothed the beast. Her absence had unleashed it. Her heartbreak, her anger, her own selfish pain, it all seemed so small now. This was bigger than a broken heart. This was about a legacy. Her mother, Serafina, had died trying to save his father from this same fate. Cassia could not, would not, let Lucian's story end in blood and madness. She wouldn't let his name be remembered as a curse. That night, as the rogues slept, her despair hardened into a grim, cold resolve. This wasn't about winning him back. This wasn't about love. This was about duty. A duty to the memory of her mother. A duty to the man buried somewhere inside the monster. She looked up through the canopy of trees at the sliver of moon in the sky, the source of the ancient power that flowed in her veins. She would not let him die this way. She would face him. She would try to reach the man inside the beast. And if she failed, if his wolf was truly all that was left, then she would die with him. She made a quiet promise to the darkness, her voice a determined whisper that was for her alone. If he dies, I die too. But I will not let him die a monster. Her choice was made. She would no longer be a victim of fate. She would be an agent of it, even if it meant sacrificing herself. Chapter 18, Come Back to Me. Under the cover of darkness, Cassia made her move. She gathered the quiet embers of her power, focusing it into a single, sharp pulse. It wasn't a violent blast, but a wave of pure energy that snapped the ropes binding her wrists. The rogues, startled from their sleep, scrambled for their weapons, but she was already gone, a fleeting shadow melting into the forest. She ran. Not away, but toward. Toward the heart of the Silver Moon territory. Toward the chaos and the pain. She reached the outskirts of the pack village at dawn. It was a nightmare. Homes were damaged. The training grounds were scarred with claw marks. And a thick cloud of fear hung over everything. She saw Kale in the center of the village square, surrounded by a group of heavily armed warriors. His face was set in a grim, determined expression. He was preparing a hunting party. He was going to kill Lucian. Cassia stepped out of the shadows. Stop, she said, her voice clear and carrying in the tense morning air. Kale spun around, his eyes widening in shock, then narrowing with fury. You, he snarled. You dare to show your face here, outcast? This is your fault, she said, her voice shaking but gaining strength. You lied. You twisted everything to get what you wanted. Kyle's friendly mask was gone forever. He laughed, a short, ugly sound. He was weak. His obsession with you made him weak, he sneered. I am simply doing what a true alpha does, protecting the pack from a monster. He gestured to his warriors. Seize her. They moved to grab her, but Cassia was ready. A wave of silver energy erupted from her, pushing them back. She was exhausted, her power drained, but her will was iron. Kyle's face contorted with rage. He pulled a dagger from his belt, its blade glowing faintly in the morning light. Silver. He lunged. She tried to blast him back, but she was too slow, too weak. He was on her, and in the struggle, she felt a searing, ice-cold pain in her side. He had stabbed her. The silver blade was a deadly poison, and she felt her strength, her very life force, begin to drain away. She collapsed to the ground, a gasp tearing from her lips. The pack members, drawn by the fight, had begun to gather, their faces a mix of horror and confusion. And then, a sound from the forest shattered the world. It was a roar, a sound of pure, untamed rage and agony that shook the earth. A creature of nightmare burst from the trees. It was larger than any wolf, a true lichen, a monster of black fur and claws like daggers. Its burning golden eyes were filled with nothing but madness and bloodlust. It was Aedric, completely unbound. The beast saw Kale standing over Cassia's bleeding body. It saw its mate, hurt and dying. And all of its world-ending rage focused on one target. It gathered itself to leap, to tear Kyle and the entire world to pieces. But Cassia, fading fast, her vision blurring, used the last ounce of her strength. The bond was her final anchor. She called out to the soul of the wolf, the ancient spirit she had once heard whisper in the dark. Her voice was barely a breath, but it cut through the storm of his rage. Aedric, come back to me. The monster froze, its snarl caught in its throat. the world went utterly silent. And deep within those burning, mad golden eyes, for just a single, impossible moment, a flicker of the man returned. A flicker of Lucien. Chapter 19. The Key and the Cure. Adric, come back to me. The whisper was a silver thread in a hurricane of red rage. Inside the beast, Lucien was drowning. The curse had finally won, swallowing him in a tidal wave of mindless fury. He was a passenger in his own body, watching through a blood-red haze as the monster that was his wolf prepared to destroy everything. But her voice, it cut through the storm. It was an anchor, a light. For the first time, Lucien didn't fight the beast. He didn't try to cage it or beat it into submission. Guided by the threat of her voice, he reached for it. He accepted it. And in that moment of surrender, as his love for the dying girl on the ground overwhelmed his fear of the wolf, everything became clear. The revelation hit him like a lightning strike. The scroll, the story of his father's death. Her mother, Serafina, the lichen healer. She hadn't been trying to kill his father. She had been trying to heal him, to use her balancing, moon-blessed power to soothe the raging, sun-fired curse in the Alpha bloodline. She had failed, but that had been her purpose. Her bloodline wasn't a poison. It was the antidote. Cassia wasn't his curse. She was his cure. His fated mate. His perfect balance. The key to finally merging the man and the wolf into one whole, controlled being. He had been pushing away his own salvation. This new understanding gave him a strength he had never known. The monstrous form didn't shrink or change, but the mindless rage in its golden eyes was replaced by a sharp, blazing intelligence. He was in control. Adric was not his enemy. He was his other half, and Cassia was the heart that could make them beat as one. He ignored the gasps from the crowd. He ignored Kale, who was backing away, his face pale with terror. Lucien's entire world narrowed to the small, fragile figure on the ground. Her scent was faint, her life fading fast, poisoned by the silver blade. With a gentleness that seemed impossible for such a fearsome creature, he bent down and gathered her into his massive arms. Her blood stained his dark fur, a warm, wet reminder of how little time she had left. She was so light, so fragile. He stood to his full, intimidating height, holding her against his powerful chest. Monster, where are you going with her? Kale shouted, his voice a mix of fear and bravado. Lucien didn't answer. He turned his back on the chaos, on the traitor, on the pack he had almost destroyed. He had only one purpose now. He began to walk, his long, powerful strides carrying them away from the village square with a grim, undeniable purpose. He was taking her to the one place with enough power to save them, the ancient moon altar on the high cliff. Chapter 20. Before the Goddess. The pack followed him. They kept their distance, a silent, stunned procession moving through the woods. They saw the change in him. The beast that had terrorized them for days now moved with the focused grace of their alpha, its eyes filled not with madness but with a desperate, determined love. He reached the high cliff as the sun began to set, painting the sky in shades of orange and purple. The moon altar was a wide, flat circle of ancient, gray stone, carved with spiraling symbols that seemed to hum with a faint energy. He walked to its center and carefully laid Cassia down. Her breathing was a shallow, barely there flutter. Just then, Gerald and the rest of the council arrived, panting from the climb. Lucien, stop this madness, the old elder commanded, his voice shaking. Whatever you are planning, it is forbidden. You will doom us all. Lucien turned to face them. He was still in his mighty lichen form, a creature of legend, but his voice was his own, booming with the power of the beast's lungs. You are the ones who were wrong, he roared, and the force of his voice made the elders stumble back. You let fear and old lies blind you for generations. Her bloodline is not a curse. It is this pack's salvation. His gaze softened as he looked down at Cassia's pale face. I rejected this bond once because I was a fool, because I was afraid. His voice dropped, filled with a raw, unshakable conviction. I will not make that mistake again. He lifted his head to the sky, where the first stars were beginning to appear. He was making a vow, not just to his pack, but to the goddess they all served. I claim her now, he bellowed, his voice echoing across the mountains. Before the goddess, before the world, I claim Cassia, my fated mate, my Luna. It was an act of total surrender. He was embracing everything he had ever feared, his wolf, his bond, his emotions, in a desperate gamble to save her life. He bent his head, his sharp white fangs extending. He was going to complete the mark, to bind their souls and their life forces together, to try and fight the silver poison with the strength of their bond. But just as his teeth were about to graze her skin, a furious shout ripped through the air. If I can't be Alpha, then no one will. Kale, his face twisted in a mask of pure, jealous rage, launched himself forward. He had followed them, unseen. In his hand was another silver dagger, and he flew through the air, aiming for Lucian's exposed back. Chapter 21, A Prayer of Blood and Moonlight. The attack was meant to be a killing blow, delivered while Lucian was focused on Cassia. But Kale had forgotten one thing. Lucian was no longer just a man fighting a wolf. He was a perfect fusion of both. The instincts of the beast and the mind of the man were one. Without taking his eyes off Cassia, Lucian spun, a blur of black fur and controlled fury. He caught Kale's wrist in a grip of iron, stopping the silver blade inches from his back. Kale's eyes widened in shock. The fight was not a battle, it was an execution. Lucian was faster, stronger, and moved with a brutal, intelligent grace. He disarmed Kale with a flick of his powerful wrist, sending the silver dagger skittering across the stone altar. Kale stumbled back, his face a mask of terror. There was no escape. With a final, decisive lunge, Lucian ended the threat of the traitorous Beta forever. But the victory was ash in his mouth. He turned back to Cassia and his heart shattered. Her chest was still. Her skin was cold to the touch. The faint silver light in her spirit was gone. He was too late. The silver poison had won. A sound of pure, heart-wrenching agony tore from his throat. He gathered her limp body into his arms, his massive form trembling with a grief so profound it shook the very altar. He was no longer a beast or an alpha. He was just a male who had lost his mate. He looked up at the twilight sky where the full moon was now rising, a perfect white disc. Tears, hot and human, streamed from his golden wolf's eyes. He howled, not a roar of rage, but a desperate, broken plea. He begged the moon goddess, the mother of all shifters, the source of Cassia's own power, for mercy. He offered his strength, his life, his soul, anything, if she would just bring her back. As he held her, a drop of his own blood from a small cut on his arm dripped down onto the pale skin of her neck, right on top of the faint, rejected mating mark. At the same exact moment, a trickle of her blood from the still weeping dagger wound on her side rolled down her body and onto his hand, which was resting on the altar stone. His blood on her, her blood on him. Both of their blood on the ancient, sacred stone. The moment their blood mingled on the altar, the carved symbols beneath them began to glow with a soft blue light. The rejected silver mark on Cassia's neck didn't just glow, it blazed. Then, a beam of pure white moonlight, impossibly bright and solid, lanced down from the heavens. It struck the altar, enveloping them both in a silent, brilliant, and holy column of light. Chapter 22, Reborn in Moonlight. Inside the light, there was no pain, no fear. There was only a feeling of pure, boundless energy. For Lucian, the light was a cool, soothing balm on the raging fire of his curse. The separate, warring voices of Adric and the man, a battle he had fought his entire life, were not being silenced. They were harmonizing. They were singing the same song for the first time, a melody of perfect balance. The rage of the beast was tempered by the love of the man. The fear of the man was strengthened by the power of the beast. They were finally becoming one. For Cassia, the light was a homecoming. The deadly silver poison was burned away, not by a fire, but by a tide of pure moonlight that washed her clean. The ancient lichen spirit within her, the power she had feared, uncoiled and bloomed, filling every part of her being. It healed her wound, knitted her flesh, and poured life back into her veins. It felt like waking from a long, terrible dream. On the altar stone, the bond between them, once rejected and broken, was being reforged. The silver mark on her neck burned with a final sealing heat, becoming a permanent, intricate pattern of their joined souls. Then, as gently as it had arrived, the column of light faded, dissolving into the soft glow of the rising moon. Cassia's eyes fluttered open. The first thing she saw was his face. He was in his human form, kneeling over her. But he was a man she had never truly seen before. The deep line of worry between his brows was gone. The haunted, burdened weight he carried on his shoulders had vanished. His golden eyes, once chips of ice or pools of fire, were now calm, clear, and filled with a love so deep and profound it stole her breath. The curse was broken. He was whole. She slowly lifted a hand to her neck. Her fingers traced a new pattern on her skin, a beautiful swirling mark of silver that felt warm and alive. It was complete. She was his. He was hers. Forever. He watched her, his expression filled with a reverence that made her heart ache. He had seen it all. Her death, her rebirth, his salvation. The pack stood in stunned, silent awe at the edge of the cliff, witnesses to a miracle. In front of all of them, Lucian, the mighty alpha who had never bent his knee to any living soul, slowly, deliberately, knelt on the sacred stone before her. He gently took her hand, his touch now steady and sure. He lowered his head and pressed a soft, lingering kiss to the new, shining mark on her neck. His voice, when he spoke, was not the roar of an alpha, but the humble, heartfelt vow of a man who had found his entire world. "The servant's daughter," he said, his voice thick with emotion for all to hear, "is my Luna." Chapter 23, The World Made New. The alpha's declaration hung in the sacred silence of the clifftop. He was kneeling before her, the ultimate act of devotion, a gesture that shattered 1,000 years of pack tradition. From the edge of the crowd, Gerald, the old grizzled elder who had demanded her death, watched with wide, unbelieving eyes. He saw the undeniable truth. He saw the perfect balance in his alpha's calm gaze. He saw the quiet, radiant power emanating from the girl on the altar. He saw the hand of their goddess at work. This was not a curse, it was a blessing. Slowly, his old knees creaking, Gerald bowed his head and knelt on the ground. One by one, like a wave of understanding washing over them, the other council members followed his lead, then the warriors, then the rest of the pack. They knelt, not in fear, but in awe and reverence for the miracle they had just witnessed. They knelt for their healed alpha and for the mysterious, powerful woman who was his mate. Cassia sat up, looking at the sea of bowed heads. A few months ago, a warrior had tried to force her to her knees in this same way, to humiliate her. She felt no triumph now, only a deep, aching empathy for every single one of them. She knew what it felt like to be made to feel small. She placed a gentle hand on Lucian's shoulder. "Stand up," she whispered. He looked up at her, his golden eyes full of love, and rose to his feet, helping her stand beside him. She then turned her gaze to the kneeling pack. Her voice wasn't loud, but it was clear and carried a strength that no one had ever heard from her before. It was the voice of a true Luna. "Get up," she said, "all of you." They rose slowly, their faces full of uncertainty. What new law was this? Cassia looked from face to face, her silver eyes holding a promise of a future they had never dared to imagine. She intertwined her fingers with Lucian's, and he squeezed her hand, giving her his silent, unwavering support. "Today, we leave the old ways behind," she announced, her voice ringing with quiet authority. "The ways of fear, the ways of shame, She took a deep breath and delivered a promise that would redefine their world forever. "We build a world where no one bows." It was a radical idea. A world built not on a hierarchy of fear and dominance, but on mutual respect and strength. It was her first and most important decree as Luna. As the words settled over the stunned and hopeful pack, the last of the magical moonlight faded from the altar. Its divine work complete, the healing could now begin. Chapter 24. Where We Belong. 6 months later, Autumn had painted the forest in brilliant shades of red and gold. The chill in the air was crisp, but the Silver Moon pack was filled with a warmth it had not known for generations. The scars of Kale's betrayal were healing, and the shadow of the Alpha's curse was a distant memory. Cassia walked beside Lucian through the village square, their hands intertwined. He was a different man. The cold, burdened Alpha was gone, replaced by a leader who smiled easily, who listened more than he commanded. The perfect balance of man and wolf had made him not weaker, but stronger, wiser. And she was no longer the invisible servant girl. She walked with a quiet, easy confidence, her silver eyes filled with a warm, gentle light. She was their Luna, and she led not with force, but with compassion. She had established a new council that included common members of the pack, not just elders. She spent her days listening, helping, and healing the divisions that had plagued them for years. She was loved. They paused by the river, the same spot where he had found her after her power had first awakened. The water rushed over the smooth stones, a peaceful, constant sound. "I was so lost," Lucian said softly, turning to face her. He brushed a stray strand of hair from her cheek. "For my whole life, I was lost in a storm inside my own head. And then I found you." She smiled, leaning into his touch. "And I was invisible," she answered. "I spent my whole life trying to disappear, and then you saw me." He wrapped his arms around her, holding her close. This was peace. This was home. A home they had built together from the ashes of pain and secrets. She rested her head against his chest, listening to the steady, strong beat of his heart. She was not beneath him. She was not above him. She was beside him, his equal, his partner, his mate. Her long, painful journey was finally over. She had found her place. She had found her power. She had found her love. She closed her eyes, a final, peaceful thought settling in her soul, a perfect and complete truth. "I was the servant's daughter. Until love taught me I was never beneath anyone,"